Our pastor is having a good time with his family, so make sure to pray for your pastor. He needs this rest. He's a busy man, so be praying for Pastor Dave and your leaders in general. I have the honor to bring the word of the Lord to you. We're going to skip the, so if you feel weird, I'm going to do the announcements at the end, okay? So we're going to go straight to the word. But let's pray first. Thank you so much, Lord, because you are good, and I'm thankful that I have you and that we have you, Lord, to bring light to our life. And I pray, Lord, that you can be speaking through your word to each heart here, and that you can change our mind the way that we think, that we can do it by your word, by the light of your word. And I pray, Lord, all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue in Luke 11 from verse 14 to 28. And I'm going to read the whole passage, and then we will come back and move little by little. Luke 11 from verse 14 through 28. The word of the Lord. Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebul. That's a hard word that I've been practicing. The prince of demons. While others to test him, keep seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan else is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Verse 21, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one is stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusts and divided his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nurse. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's the word of the Lord. The first thing that I thought when I knew that I was had to preach in this one, I was like, thank you, Pastor Dave, for this passage. It's not an easy passage. I had to really pray, and actually it was good for me because I could get really into it and look for the Lord. But it's definitely not an easy passage for us. And before we go into the text, I want to make sure that we establish a truth that often we don't really perceive or we don't really understand fully. And it's that the darkness is real and is active. And the reason why I say this is because I get up in the morning, I get dressed up, you know, I just put my, I was going to say my makeup, I don't use makeup. I just put, you know, I put it, if you wear makeup, you put your makeup, you get in the car, everything is physical. You see the cars, you're fighting in the traffic, right? You get over to work, I work with tools, everything is physical and material. I had to deal with time and matter, and then I had to come back, fight traffic. Everything is physical with matter and time. We are always in this visible world. So I'm not thinking necessarily in the invisible world. And so that's what I want to make sure that we are on the same page before we get into this topic, because it's important that we remember that the darkness is real and is very much active. So let me tell you what Colossians 1 from verse 13 and after says. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And amen, and thank you, Lord, for that. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now listen, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So we know that this invisible world is real, is there. Regardless if you see it or regardless if you believe it even, it's there. We know what the scripture tells us, that the Lord is the Lord of the visible and the invisible. So where we can find more in the scripture about this invisible world? Well, we know that, you know, when the Lord came to the earth, you guys remember that passage when the angels came and they sing, you know, glory to God in the highest. Remember that? Well, we find it in that passage, for instance, Luke 2:13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. This heavenly host of angels are part of the invisible world, but they become visible for a mission, for something specific. But they are not generally visible. We are not seeing angels all the time, right? We know that they are part of that invisible world. Another place, 2 Kings 6. Then Elijah prayed and said, "Oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." He's talking about his servant. He was praying so his servant can see what was with them. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So what was going on here is that Elijah pretty much was running because somebody was after him. And the servant was getting nervous because he see all these people coming to him. And Elijah said, "Hey, come, take it easy. It's all good." And so he prayed, and he's like, "Lord, open the eyes of this young man so he can see really all the people that is for us." And so he opened the eyes. And this man who could see all these chariots and horses that they were fighting for Elijah. All these people were not from the visible world. They were from the invisible, but they became visible to fight for them. Another verse, Ephesians 6, very well known, verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Flesh and blood is stuff that come out of us, physical, right? "But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." There you go again. Now it's telling us and warning us what we're really fighting against, okay? So, as we have those who are fighting for us, as we know, the Lord is taking care of us, just like it did with the prophet Elijah, we also know that there is some part of the invisible world that is against us. And for instance, 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons." So now you may think, well, all this is part of the scripture, is past, you know, we don't have to deal with this today because the scripture was, you know, they finished writing the scripture a long time ago. So what about now? What about today, brother? I had to be thinking about this, I had to be aware of this. Well, let me read you a few testimonies of people that were part of it. For instance, an ex-psychic, Jen Nisa, I think that's her name. All these people were part of the darkness. Now they were transformed by the Holy Spirit. So it's really cool to listen to them now being sons and daughters of the Lord. But they are speaking of what was their testimony, what they went through. So this was an ex-psychic, a former psychic. "For many years, I was convicted of speaking to the dead, that I was speaking to the dead. But now I can tell you that those spirits I once channeled were demons. They hate God and his people, and they're on a mission to get them as far as they can from their God. Also, they," referring to the demons, "are the ones that give us psychic information about the people that come to us." So this is not a joke, brothers. This is actually happening, and I don't want to... This is heavy. So as I'm reading this, it wasn't easy. I had to pray to the Lord. I was telling Holly, I had to stop for a second because this is a lot. So I had to go take a break, pray to the Lord, and go back. But what I want to do is to bring awareness to us. And because, again, our daily life, we're not thinking about what's happening. An ex-witch, Jenny Waver, "I can assure you that witchcraft is all over around us. Hollywood started to release massive amounts of content where witches were part of their production. They do spells to the viewers and call demons using names that witches and church Satan church followers use in their actual cult sessions." I'm not going to name the names that they use here, but I have a few if you want to know them later. "Many will know witchcraft movies, books, and TV shows carry in great amount of spiritual witchcraft with them." John Ramirez, this is the last one I'm going to read, an ex-follower of Satan. He was high-ranked in the Satan church, and one of the best recruiters for that church. And if you If you're a mature Christian, you think that you can listen to his testimony, because it's, again, it's not easy to hear. But if pray to the Lord, and this, his testimony is amazing, what the Lord did with him. In that sense, what the power of the Lord can do is really cool to hear. He said, most of the darkness movement happens at night, not all, but most. And why it happens at night? Because Christians are sleeping. There is no that warfare going on. We are not praying. We are not fasting. We're sleeping. So that's where they use the night, as he explained. He got married on a Halloween night, which is one of the three most used nights by Satanists. He invoked and praised Satan and commend his demons to be a night of success. There is an immense amount of prayer over the night for all those who will be either celebrating or simply being part of it. This is the day most used for Satan worshippers, witches, and warlocks who gather with a purpose to extend the work of the darkness on earth. So is the darkness in the invisible world active today? Yes, absolutely. Just like it was in the time of Jesus, it's active today. So now that we know that, and hopefully if you didn't think about this before, and now you are thinking about it, let's go to the text and see what we can learn from what the Lord went through and what he did. So let's go from verse 14 through 16. Now he was casting out a demon that he was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said he cast out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, while others, to test him, keep seeking from him a sign from heaven. So now we read that everybody marveled. The people marveled. It's not making any difference. It seemed like everybody was amazed at what the Lord just did. Everybody knew, and pretty much they realized it was a miracle, right? This guy was mute, and now he can speak. So there was no doubt about that. Most like a lot of people knew that also was a demon what came out. And everybody also saw the power of the Lord. Everybody was there. Everybody saw it. There was no doubt about that. But it's very interesting what they did with that. They saw what happened, but however, they decide to think or, you know, put a different reason to what you saw. They try to come out with a different logic to what happened. And we had two groups. The first one is the one that implied that the Lord pretty much worked for Satan or with Satan or whatever. I don't know what they were thinking. But this is the first group. They didn't want nothing to do with the Lord as the Son of God. They just went straight forward and said, no, this is Satan working right there. It didn't matter what the Lord did. It didn't matter what they tell them. They already make their mind. Now, the word Beelzebul, I thought it was funny when I was reading, because it called the Lord of the Flies. And I was thinking, it's like that's not a cool name for a god, right? You have the god of the sea and the god of the thunder. And it's kind of like they run out of name for God. It's like, what do we have left? Oh, the Lord of the Flies. Okay, I'll take it. You know, whatever. It's kind of sad, right? But the Philistines worship this god, the Lord of Flies. Oh, another name that is not Beelzebul, but it's Beelzebub. It means the Lord of the House. But either way, it referred to a ruler of the demons. They were saying that the Lord pretty much worked for this prince of the demons, of the ruler of the demons. And this group, as I said, they just didn't want to believe. It didn't matter what they saw. It didn't matter how much power the Lord would show. They just already made their mind. They were rejecting the Lord. The second group, however, they were, it seems like they were a little more open. At least it seemed that they were a little bit more open, maybe more agnostic, right? It's like, well, if you give me another sign and confirm, maybe I'll be able to believe. Although I believe that a lot of these people, they already saw the Lord acting, you know, before and doing miracles before. But so, in a way, I don't know how much they needed to see in order to believe. But it still wasn't enough. Whatever it is that the Lord did, of course, was not enough. And so we had these two groups. And let's see what the Lord answered, verse 17 through 18. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan else is divided against himself, who will his kingdom stand? How will his kingdom stand? For you said that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. Now it's interesting to say every kingdom. I was thinking about that idea of every kingdom, because it's almost like you can think that it's not just this principle that every kingdom that is divided, it will fall. You can bring this idea, this principle, and apply it to our nation. We can apply it to a state. You can even apply, I was thinking about my family. Like if my family was divided, eventually it will collapse. We will have problems. We can apply it to your church. And if you remember, a long time ago, I did preach about unity and how important unity is and how the Lord already, we are already united. We don't have to try to be united. The word says that we are united and we have to watch to keep that unity. So unity is very important. And then says that how will his kingdom stand? Let me read the whole thing. Knowing the thoughts said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? It's almost giving that idea that is his suggesting that, you know, Satan's kingdom is not falling, it's united and is standing, because if they was divided, there would not be kingdom of the darkness. So I can see that Satan's kingdom is not divided. That's why it's still going. That's why still we can see it today. And that's why you can hear these testimonies of people and know that this is true. It's not too hard to see what the devil is doing out there, brothers. It's not too hard. If we just open our eyes, it's all over. Just turn the TV on and, well, hopefully, you know what, just don't turn on the TV. But if you do, you will see it. You will see it. And the schools and oh, no, it's all over. I love let me see, where am I here? I don't want to move ahead. And you know what, in part, that's why I introduced this sermon this way, because it's important that we are aware of this. Verse 19, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your son cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. Now this is interesting that the Lord start doing this. If that, then this. So you're telling me that I cast demons in the name of Beelzebul? Well, your sons are doing the same thing. So can we say that they are also doing it in the name of Satan? Because you don't say that about them. You say that they are doing it in the name of God. So why are you telling me that I'm doing it in the name of Beelzebul? If we go back to chapter 9, we learn with Pastor Dave, I believe, he preached about that. Do you remember when Peter come to the Lord and say, Lord, some people is casting demons in your name. And the Lord say, and we told them to stop because they don't have that, you know, authority. And the Lord say, just let them do it. They are doing it in my name. You remember that? So they were doing it. They were, the Jews used to have a part in people that were casting demons. Now, by reading some scholars, they teach that they have like a step by step. They will have a way to do this. So it won't be suddenly in one time. It will take time. It will take days. When they were doing it, and still they were not successful. So what the Lord did here, it was pretty amazing. That's what probably they were marveling. Because the Lord said, get out, and the demon just got out. There was not, okay, let's see what happened. Let's try this for a week and see if it comes out. No, the Lord speak, and his word was enough for that demon just fly out. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? Okay, for those two that believe that, amazing. Do you believe that there is power in the name of Jesus? Yes, there is power in the name of Jesus. That's why he was able to do that. Verse 20. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now we have this idea of the finger of God, and at least a couple of places in the Old Testament. What it means that when he referred to finger of God. If we go to Exodus 8:17, we will read the first time that we'll see this idea of the finger of God. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats. How do you say that? Gnats? Okay, just get rid of the G. Why you guys put the G in there then? Make it so hard for the Chilean. Just get rid of the G. Gnats. And there were gnats on men and beasts. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So they were nuts on men and beasts. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord has said. So you find the first time speaking about the finger of God. They tried to do something similar. They realized, no, this is something else. We cannot do this. We cannot even match it. Exodus 31:18, this is the second time that you will see it. And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablet of stone, written with the finger of God. So the finger of God has this idea, and it's related to a higher power, a power that no one can match, a power that had no equal. You will never be able to see that. You will know when the finger of God is there. Nobody else can match that. Nobody can do anything similar. That's a signature of the Lord. Only the Lord can do that. And so that's what we find here. But if it's by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has upon you. And that's really cool to see. Look, if you understand what I'm doing here and you believe what I did it and how I did it and by what power I did it, that's good news for you. Because that means that the kingdom of God is here. That means that you can have salvation. But if you keep thinking the other way, which is not true and is a lie, then you have no hope. You must believe that I'm the Son of God. You must believe that the kingdom of God is here, because that's good news for you. But obviously, we didn't see that. And you know, and it was. We learned that the Jesus' name, it was Emmanuel. You remember that word, Emmanuel? And Emmanuel mean God with us. So they have God with them, God itself showing them the way and coming to save. Let's keep going. Verse 21 and 22. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one is stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divided his spoil. So you may be able, I had to read this a couple of times actually, because I couldn't grasp the whole idea just from here all the way to the bottom. But this is what I gather, and this is what I understand. You, the strong man is any natural man, any man that thinks that can guard his own life and his own. Like, I can do this in my own, so I'm going to guard my life, I'm going to guard my heart, my body, and so I'm going to do certain things that are going to make me feel comfortable and safe. But that, and maybe in some degree, maybe you feel safe, and you are safe in some degree, in some level. But that safety only stands until somebody that is stronger than you come into this picture, right? And let me tell you, the darkness, they are not divided, they are stronger than individual men, natural men. I'm talking about natural men, without the Lord, okay? Anybody that doesn't have the Lord is not strong enough to fight against the darkness. And so what happened? The stronger man, he come and attacks him and take everything that he has, because that's what the devil came to do, to kill, destroy, and steal everything that we have. So I believe that that's what is saying here. The spirit is stronger than the natural man. He takes what's precious to that man, whatever that is, wrongly, obviously, because the natural man doesn't have what really is valuable, which is the Lord Jesus, and it will destroy his life. And then he keeps going and says, verse 23, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. The Lord is warning them, and he's warning us too. So you either believe that I did this by the power of God, believe that the kingdom is here, or if you do not believe, or you cannot believe, and therefore you're against my mission here. So you have two options here. There is no third option. There is no a middle way here. You are either in or you are out. You believe who I am, and you work with me towards the mission I have here, or you are not with me, and you just are not, you know, you're not following the will of the Lord, and you are not working for me. It's that simple. And we will come back to this in a little bit. But this is also a warning regarding our spiritual life as Christians. And we will come back to that specific passage. Let's go to verse 24 through 26. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So let's go back now from the beginning. You remember the natural man was guarding his life, maybe by knowledge, maybe he grabbed maybe position in life, maybe he has a PhD in something that make him feel secure and safe. A stronger one comes and take what is his or what make him feel safe. And now a stronger one comes into the picture, which is our Lord Jesus. He come and take that demon out, and now the demon goes. Now the person is clean again, of the spirit at least. And then the spirit, you know, is walking around, whatever, and he said, well, you know what, I want to go back because I need a place to be. I need somebody to be, you know, messing with. He go back. get inside. He said, oh, this place is nice. You know, it's better than how I left it. So he calls his friends, and now they have a big sleepover, and they make a big mess in that person's life. And so what was missing? Why did this happen again? Why this man, or in this picture, we see that these demons come back to this person? Very simple, because he didn't put nothing stronger to secure his life. He didn't put nobody stronger than himself or that demons or the darkness to guard his heart. And we know that the only person that can guard your heart and my heart that is stronger than anything in the visible world and in the invisible world is our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you say amen to that? So that's why it's so important that we understand who the Lord is. And that's why it's so important that we understand about his kingdom, because he is the only one that can guard our heart. And that's why it's so important to know him. Let's go back now to verse 23. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather me scatters. Why this verse, I came back to it? Because, again, it's important that you and me understand, if you are here and you haven't get that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's important that you understand this, that you need him to guard your life against the darkness, against the evil, against the devil. The Bible describes only two teams, okay? There's only two teams. Are the ones that are with the Lord and the ones that are against the Lord. Are only two kingdoms, the darkness and the light. There's only two races, if you will, the race of the nation of God and those who are with the devil. Look what Colossians 1 says, verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. So we were before in the darkness, which is one of the team, right? Everybody who is on that side. He delivered us from the darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You can see both teams, both kingdoms, both kind of people, very, very well in them. In Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So you, my friend, if you are here and you haven't heard this before, you need to make this decision. It's amazing. I can tell you, it's amazing to have the Lord in your heart, because you are secure. And you know that he is powerful more than anything that you can find in this world. Amen? And you know what is beautiful too? If you read the end of this Colossians 1, it say that it's in Christ that we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. So maybe you've been walking around and you think that you can do it on your own. You realize that you keep falling and falling and falling, and you keep doing it on your own. Where the Lord said, just come to me. Come to me. Realize that you've been probably one of those people that doesn't want to recognize who I am. But you keep trying to call the work of the Lord in different names, and you say, well, this is the work of the devil, this is the work of the people, this is the politicians. And you don't want to accept that there is a God, that he cares for you, but you keep finding excuses about why things happen in the world, why things happen to you, or how I can get out of this. The Lord have all the answers for you, all of them, every single one are here in the word of the Lord. And by your intimacy with him, by a relationship, you will be able to find that guidance from God. And he will protect you, and he will not leave you or forsake you. That's a promise that he had given us, all of us. And he is willing to forgive your sin and everything that you had done before this day. He say, I will forgive your sin. I'm faithful. I will do it for you. But you had to give that step. You had to make that choice. Now, what about us, Christians? Maybe we are super comfortable here. Oh, yeah, he's not talking to us. He's talking about the non-Christians. Well, what about us, Christians? How we take this verse now? Well, we can take this verse really, really deep. And I did. Speaking about me, I was really getting into this verse to see what the Lord have for me. You know, the word gather in this verse come from the word synagogue, which is where we get the word synagogue, which is a church for the Jews. You remember that word? Yeah, synagogue? And it means to lead into, to bring in, to collect. And the word scatter, it comes from the word scorpizo, and it means to put to flight, to waste, to disperse. That's what it means. So basically what it's saying is those who are not part of the mission here, the mission of bringing in, to congregate, to reach out, all they are doing is exactly the opposite. You guys are hurting the cause. You guys are not going with the mission. You guys are not doing my will. You're not helping. You are making others run away. You're not bringing people in. All what you're doing is pushing people out. You see how important it is that we understand this? Let's open this verse a little bit more, just a little bit more, a little farther. You remember when the Lord came to the disciples and he told them, I had to go to Jerusalem, and down there they're going to beat me up, they're going to crucify me, they're going to treat me really bad, and I will die. And Peter say, oh, Lord, come here. Don't do this. This is not good. We don't want this to happen. You remember what the Lord told Peter? Let's read it. From the time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This should never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are hindrance for me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. That's hard. You think like Peter was close to the Lord, and the Lord said, get behind me, Satan. Now, this word Satan, it means adversary. It means someone that is opposed, somebody that is in the way. As a matter of fact, we go to the Old Testament, and we find a verse that the Lord is talking about an angel that stood in front of, oh, I can't remember right now who was it, a donkey? Balaam, yes, thank you. And that angel, and the word say that angel was an adversary. It was somebody that was coming in the way. And that word in the original is Satan. So the word is not always referring to, you know, the Satan, like the devil. In this case, it's referring to somebody that is going against or in opposition to the will of God. And that's what it's telling Peter. Get off me. You are not putting your eyes and your mind the things of the Lord. You're just thinking about yourself, your feelings, your emotion. But there is a greater, you know, picture here. There's a greater mission. We had to accomplish something here. And you're not thinking right, Peter. You are setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. He was thinking about his own, you know, they were good, right? I mean, he didn't want the Lord to suffer, of course. But he wasn't thinking in the mission that the Lord was coming to do. And therefore, he was in opposition to the mission of the Lord. He was an adversary for what the Lord came to do. So here's the thing. In a spiritual level, there is no halfway in or halfway out. We are either with God or we are against him. It's not even like we are out of him. No, we are against him. We are with him or we are against him. So how can we make sure that we are fully in? That's the question that came to my mind. How I can make sure, Lord, that I'm actually doing your will and I'm not going against your will and I'm actually, you know, gathering and not pushing away? How I can make sure that I'm actually doing that? Well, praying. Very simple. We all know this stuff, right? It's very simple. We pray. And why we pray? Because that's the way that we can tell the Lord. We can tell, Lord, you know what? I need to know your will. Please help me with this decision. Help me with this action. Or maybe I'm going to move. Is this move actually correct? Is this move is going to bring people in? Is going to help the cause of Christ? Is going to extend your kingdom? Or this move is just because I want to move and I don't like California? I'm just putting an example in there, right? Or is this job? You can apply for anything. Is this job something that is just because it's going to bring, you know, good stuff for me? Or this job actually is going to be good for your kingdom? Anything, any decision you had to make and I had to make, we should bring into the Lord in prayer. Always we had to pray. Fasting. I was telling my wife, I don't know how many of you fast last Wednesday. I haven't fasted for a long time. I don't even remember the last time I fasted. And I was telling my wife, it was amazing. It was so good to fast again. I was telling my wife that I feel so good. It feels so good. I feel close to the Lord. I was all day praying. I was all day listening to worship. As I'm working, I'm listening and preaching. I was all day connected. I usually listen to the news. Then I listen to different kind of music. I kind of have like a program during my day. This time I was like, I'm not doing any of that. I'm going to just focus on the Lord. Everything that I'm going to do is just going to be with the Lord. It was amazing how the Lord starts shaping your heart just for one day, just one time fasting. It has an incredible power to fast. And when we do that, the Lord help us to know his will. And he'll start telling you, no, not that way, son. Don't go that way. And he also tell you what he wants for you as an individual. Not necessarily as a, you know, as a body. We will know that too. But when you come before the Lord and you say, Lord, I want to know what you want from me. No, I want to do that because that brother is doing that. Or why is he doing that and I cannot? Why you haven't allowed me to do that? No, Just look for your own, you know, your what the Lord wants from you. And you come to the Lord and pray to the Lord and fast to the Lord and hear what he wants you to do to extend his kingdom. The Lord will tell you. Do you remember the story of David and the brave men? I shared this before, but I just love this story, so I'm going to tell it again if you haven't heard it. Good for you. If you already heard it, good for you too. So you remember the story of David and the brave men. David is in his palace, and he desired the water of his enemies. You guys remember that story? And the brave man, and so what David does, and he goes and he said, I wish I can have the water of the wells of my enemies. The brave men that were there, they just run out the door, went to get the water and bring it back to his king. Now, why this story is always captivate me? It's because the Bible doesn't say that David commanded them. It doesn't say, and David commanded them to go get the water. Go and get me water. It doesn't say that he speak loud in a loud voice. What it says, when you read it in the original, it says that he pretty much, it was a thought. I wish I could have the water that way, calmly, softly. So let me ask you a question. How close the brave man needed to be from his king to hear that thought, that desire? Could they hear they were far away from their king? They need to be right next to him. Because it was just a whisper. It was just like, I wish I could have this. Those brave men probably were right next to their king in order to hear that small desire. And so when I think about this, I say, Lord, that's how close I want to be from you. I want to hear every single thing that you want me to do to extend your kingdom, that I can hear every little, speak to that little person that is over there. Speak to that homeless. May the Lord sometime, he will tell us, speak to that man, deaf, I'm telling you. 3 times I had to speak, but I don't want to do that. I want to be so close to the Lord that he can just say, speak to that man. I said, yes, Lord. Bam, go in. And I encourage you that we can all aim for that we can have that closeness with our Lord. And the third one, and important too, read his word. There is where we will find guidance. There's where we'll find truth and blessing. Look at verse 27 and 28. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nurse. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Not just to hear the word of God, but also keep it. Now, I would think that this woman probably had a good intention, and by blessing, technically he was blessing Mary, right? And we know that Mary was a blessed woman. You remember Elizabeth, she said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So the woman wasn't wrong. Mary was a blessed woman. But it's interesting that the Lord, it seems like he ignored that claim. Right? He just go beyond or over that claim that the woman did. So why he did that? And I would think we don't find any really in the Bible where the Lord put Mary in a special place. And he put it up there so people can worship it. And this is an excellent verse to notice that. The Lord could have, you know, just load of praises to Mary for what she did, or to at least acknowledge the woman. But the Lord go furthermore, and he focused on what is important. Now, the other thing is that Mary, neither we see in the Bible that Mary gave that to herself. She neither put herself in a special place. So what happened here? Why the Lord, it seems like he didn't hear what the woman says. Well, I think that the Lord is trying to focus on what really is important and what really will bring blessing to our life. And what is that? To listen to his word. Put attention to my words and keep them, says the Lord. A child of God that doesn't read and listen to his word is in danger to be deceived. To be, you know, the darkness come and just show you little things. You're like, oh, I like this. And you just go, why? Because you are not reading the word of God. Because you don't know your God. Because I don't know my God, because I'm just going by the flow, by my own understanding. Where you find that guidance, where you find that power, is in the word of God. Listen to the word of God, and you will have that power and that guard that will keep you away from falling into things that the darkness are putting there for you. Because they're all over the place. And the movie that you watch, and the book that you read, and the schools, and the things that you celebrate or you are part of it, there is everywhere. So how I know that this is actually good for me or it's bad for me? Well, I read the word of the Lord. Here's where we find the answer. Not in my own understanding. And besides, we are missing blessing, obviously, here. right? If we don't read the word, we are not going to be blessed. The Lord say, rather, let me go back here. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. These people didn't want to hear the word of God. What God was telling them, what Jesus was telling them, the kingdom of God is here. Take it. Be part of it. They didn't want to hear it. They just want to find any excuses. I get excited sometimes with this. Let me go to Psalm 19:7 and start closing up here. I love this Psalm. 19:7 all the way to 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. The law, the statutes, the precepts, the commands, the fear, and the decrees, all this right here. Everything is here. So all this is talking about the word of God. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. You know, this is King David writing. King David has access to the best of the best. So if it was a good honey around, the king had it. He tasted it. He knew it. He already tried it. There was no sweeter honey than probably what David already tasted. However, he still said that the word of the Lord is better than that he already tried. Same with the gold. He have all the, you know, he was a king. He has seen good gold, pure gold, and he's saying that the word of God doesn't even compare to what he has seen as a king or what tastes as a king. That's how precious for King David the word was. And that's how precious should be for us. Verse 11, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is a great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. And verse 14. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I love this verse. Verse 14 is beautiful. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may be what I said, Lord, anywhere, here at the church, at the house, at work, maybe my thoughts, everything that I am. It could be anything that I do. My whole life could be pleasing to you, Lord. My whole life, completely, not just part of it, not just some days, completely. What I say outside, what I say here, what I say my, how I talk to my wife, how I talk to my kids, all my words, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock, my redeemer. All of me pleasing the Lord. All of me in, on his side, and not against him. Let me read again let me see where it is. Let me close here with verse here. One second. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. I started this trying to warn you, or not to warn you, but to bring back to your mind what we are against here. That what was going on in there in the time of Jesus is still happening today. And somebody was saying, you know, if before there was less people in the world and they were still dealing with this kind of demonic possession, imagine how many people are today that we are, I don't know, how many are we? 8 billion people here in the world now? That had increased. I work in Long Beach. Long Beach is a hard place to drive. You see a lot of people with mental health, and a lot of people, when I see them, it's like, here, there is something else here. It can't be that you just, you know, you drive for a block and you have 3 or 4 people acting weird. This is real stuff. And when you really start thinking about it, it's there. It's active. The word warns us about that. So grab your sword right here, because you and me are in war. If you don't have your sword with you, the enemy will beat you up because you are not prepared. You don't have your weapon. We need to have our sword right here. We need to know. We have to read it. The Word will tell you what movies to watch. The Word will tell you what books to read. The Word will tell you, and the Word of God and the relationship with the Lord will tell you where to go, when to go, what to be part of it. That's the only rule of guidance that we have. That way we know that we are with Him and not against Him. We are bringing people in and not pushing people out. So grab your sword, because we are in war. I don't know. You guys heard what happened with Israel, right? It was sad what's happening, but I was listening to it, and I was like, that's pretty much my sermon. We are in war, and we had to be aware. I'm sure that all Israelites are ready now for war. They are getting ready. Now that you know that, you also, maybe you forgot. I surely forgot that we are in a, you know, in a constant fight with the devil, with the darkness. Well, now I'm praying to the Lord, help me. I want to dig into your word. I want to get closer to you, and I want to be aware of what's going on. So grab your sword, because we are in war. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, because you're good to us, and we are thankful that you are patient to us, and you are always there to remind us the truth and what's going on. Sometimes we got so into ourselves, into our life, into our routine, that we forget, Lord, what's really going on. And we will forget why we are here, that we are not here to extend our personal kingdom, our personal goals. We are here as your children for something much greater than ourselves, and it's for your kingdom. So I pray, Lord, that you can help us to see that you can open our eyes, and that we can start getting closer and closer to you, to hear your voice, and to be ready to fight for your cause, for your kingdom, Lord. Thank you so much, because you have rescued us and bring us to your side, and that we know that the stronger one, the more powerful, is in our side. Such a blessing, Lord, and we are thankful for that, that you have seen us and bring us to you. We praise your name, and we are thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, come, Lord Jesus, come. But while we wait for that coming, let me finish with the last verse of chapter 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Let that be our prayer this week, that everything we do, including reading the word of the Lord, praying, everything that we do could be acceptable before our Lord. Amen.